Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
It's always fun the day after the Chiefs have a dominating performance to scroll Twitter. It's like the opposite of doom scrolling. You know, like you doom scroll if you're a U.S. men's national team fan and watch everybody melt down about how the team looks bad or whatever. The day after the Chiefs play a game like this, you get to scroll Twitter and just see all these incredible statistics that people keep putting out there about how good the Chiefs are, like this one from Adam Teicher 11 minutes ago. Numbers from ESPN Stats and Info show why the Chiefs were so good in the run game last night. They had a run block win rate of 83.3%, which is second best in the NFL for games played in Week 4. As comparison, the Chiefs had just a 66.1% win rate last week against the Colts. That type of information is why we have Adam Teicher on the show every week to talk Chiefs. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good, Nate. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, look, you know, Jayhawks are 5-0, Chiefs are 3-1. It's just, it's all sunshine and what was it Whit Merrifield said? It's peaches and roses around here for me these days, man.
Yeah, going to be a lot of January and maybe even February football for you this year, huh?
Somebody told me that the Cheez-It Bowl representatives were popping by different tailgates in Lawrence on Saturday. We can dare to dream of the Cheez-It Bowl all of a sudden in Lawrence. There you go, man.
It doesn't get any better than that, man.
You think there's going to be peaches and roses all year?
We'll take it. The Kansas City Chiefs, that statistic that you put out there, I was saying it, I'm trying to remember what game it was, but it's a trend that you see in the NFL. If an offensive line or a defensive line gets humiliated in a game in the NFL, you should expect them to go out with a point to prove the next week. It happens all the time in the league. Is it as simple as that? Is it as simple as this offensive line got a little embarrassed last week and they just came out with a greater sense of focus and determination? Or is there something else that would explain the big variance in their production from week to week that you described in your tweet?
Yeah, that's a big part of it, I think. I mean, there was a lot that went into it. It wasn't just the way they played last week, although that was certainly a factor. You know, they were playing the Bucs and coming back to the place where they lost in the Super Bowl to the Bucs. And I think, you know, particularly when they got here, got to the stadium last night, there was some the feelings from that day and what they, you know, felt like after that game came back. And then they wanted to avoid that. And there was certainly some focus on the comments that the Bucs made during the week about the Chiefs offensive line being no better than it was in the Super Bowl that year. So, there's a lot that played into it. I go back to something Eric Bieniemy said during the week last week. You know, he said sometimes you need to get a little humility to get focused and get your head right. And, he's right. I think that's what happened here. And, it was kind of enlightening after the game. Some of the players were talking about, last night or the night before the game, Andy Reid kind of told them, listen, the way you prepared this week, you're going to play well In this game because of the way you worked at it this week. So I just think there was more focus. It seemed like there was a lot more focus and a lot more concentrating on the task at hand this week than maybe there was last week. So just kind of an interesting lot of interesting things being said after the game last night. So, yeah, I do think that had a factor in it, that had a hand in it.
Lebo was telling us earlier today that, you know, when he was at out in the locker room all week, and I know you are too, that he noticed the basketball wasn't being played in the locker room like it had been the previous weeks. There just seemed to be a more business-like approach to the week. Were you getting that sense? You mentioned what Andy Reid said before the game. Were you kind of getting that feel through the course of the week last week?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, again, Bieniemy's comments kind of, caught my attention a little bit that, the coaches at least seem to think that the loss of the Colts got their attention, got everybody focused in the right direction. So I don't know what that means for next Sunday's game against the Raiders now that, things have worked out or the Chiefs played this way last night. But, it was just a really fantastic performance.
And the some other statistics that have come out that I've been looking at, as I said, it's kind of fun to scroll Twitter in situations like this. Through four games, this was tweeted out, through four games of the post-Tyreek Hill era, the Chiefs are first in the NFL in expected points added, and in points per drive, they're first in the NFL. It's only four games, and obviously there was a bad performance last weekend, but those numbers would indicate that this team is just efficient offensively, even if not quite as explosive as they were in the past. Can we say that now? Is it still too early to say that? Because, of course, last week the narrative by a lot of people was, now we see it, they missed Tyreek Hill. But four games in, the overall numbers say that this is the most efficient offense in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm never – you never want to make too much of one game, good or bad. You know, but now we have a bigger body in numbers, bigger collection of numbers here. And, we're almost a quarter of the way through the season. So, I think you can make some assumptions here. And I've said this before. You've heard me say this before, Nate, and I just keep coming back to this because I believe this is true and this will prove to be the case in the end, that any team that's quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes and coached by Andy Reid is going to be okay in the end. You know, they're going to be fine over the long haul. There may be some bumps in the road, and I guess we saw one last week in Indianapolis, but I feel like, those two guys are going to get the Chiefs through over a long period of time, that, it's going to work out for them. And so I do feel like the Chiefs have the pieces to make this work and certainly the quarterback to make it work.
The Houdini of our era, according to Travis Kelce. Yeah. And so maybe this is the Houdini play. Like, there's these certain plays that he's come up with where, when you say, hey, remember the left-handed pass? Everybody knows exactly what you're talking about in Denver. Yeah. The fourth down conversion against the Ravens where he ran around and chucked it down the field to Tyreek Hill. And you tweeted out, where does this one rank in the all-time list of weird Mahomes touchdown passes? You tell me. I mean, he's done so many of them that it's almost crazy to try to rank a top five. Was this one that good?
Yeah. This one was, it was like that Tyreek Hill pass that you talked about against Baltimore a few years ago. And I guess like the left-handed pass, too. I mean, the guy is just fearless. I mean, he'll do whatever he thinks he needs to do on a football field. And it just worked out for him that way. I mean, the spin move I thought was going to get him killed at first, and he just kind of made his way around the guy, and then he flips it up. He called it like shooting a basketball, and it was just fun to watch. So, I think it's up there. Certainly, he's had some other ones that we didn't mention, but this one was up there.
So when it comes to trying to break down everything about this game, you have to take into context the way the game was played and how the Chiefs jumped out to an early lead and all. But I am curious what you make of the defensive performance. I mean, if you just look at the box score and you see all the yards that Tom Brady threw for and three touchdowns and no interceptions, you can say, well, the defense had a tough day. But maybe it's deeper than that because of the way the game played out. What do you make of their defensive performance yesterday?
No, I'll argue they did exactly what they had to do on defense to win the game.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I wrote that today. I mean, after the game last night, it's on ESPN.com that the Chiefs played a great, complimentary game last night. Their defense did exactly what they had to do. They made the Bucs, sure, the Bucs scored some points and they went down the field a couple times, but the Chiefs made them take a lot of time to do that. They made them burn up a bunch of time rather than, you know, with a couple of quick strikes here and there to get down the field quickly. I think there were two plays of more than 20 yards that the Bucs had last night. So that's pretty good for a team that threw the ball as much as they did. So I think what the Chiefs, and then the Chiefs defense had the biggest defensive play of the game last night. It was done by the Chiefs, strip sack by Legarius Sneed, which the Chiefs converted into a touchdown. So, I feel like that was a pretty good effort by the Chiefs last night. Game circumstances dictated this, certainly, but the Chiefs were also doing a really good job on run defense, and the Bucs just kind of gave up on it. They were down a bunch, so they had to throw a lot, but they just quit running the ball because of the way the job the Chiefs were doing. So I actually think the Chiefs did what they had to do. You know, if you're looking for great numbers, then that wasn't going to be the game for you for the Chiefs on defense. But if you're looking for a side of the ball that knew exactly what it needed to do under the circumstances, that's what you got from the Chiefs last night. That was, I can't wait to talk to Steve Spagnuolo later in the week because exactly what they had to do last night.
Yeah, and it is. It's about winning the game. You know, it's not about about putting up fancy statistics. And you mentioned the big play of the game defensively, Legarius Sneed with the sack strip, and It amazes me that he is still able to catch quarterbacks off guard, because he's got to be the best blitzing corner in the NFL, and it's, I feel like you see it almost once a game where he gets to the quarterback and the quarterback does not see him coming. And for a quarterback like Tom Brady, who seems to see everything on the field, to not see him coming kind of blows my mind a little bit. By the way, Sneed also led the team in tackles on the day. And you want to talk about value for where they got him and what he continues to be. How important is Legarius Sneed to this defense, in your opinion, and how good is he just overall compared to other players at his position in the NFL?
Yeah, I think you could make a case that for him as the Chiefs defensive MVP through the first four games. I'd probably take Chris Jones, but I think you could make a strong case for Legarius Sneed. Certainly he's in the mix. Nick Bolton would be up there as well. Mm-hmm. But, they have some guys playing well. The safeties are playing well. Justin Reed had a nice game last night. So, I think he is playing well. I don't know if he's playing at a Pro Bowl level, but he's doing what the Chiefs ask him to do. He's doing the things they need him to do. And, he's playing inside. He's playing outside. He's doing a lot of things out there. And, the Chiefs are a better team for it, for sure.
Is there any reason to be concerned that Tom Brady threw the ball 52 times and the only person that sacked him was Legarius Sneed?
Yeah, I feel like they could have done a better job in getting pressure, and that's been a little bit spotty for the Chiefs. Certainly had a nice game against the Colts last week. They didn't put the effort into it that they did. They didn't blitz as much last night as they did against the Colts. So, you're right. Concern, but how much do you want to blitz when you're up by a bunch. You don't want to gamble. You don't want to, you know, give him an opening and let him score quickly. So I'm not going to argue with the Chiefs' tactics last night, because I thought defensively they did very well given what they were dealt, the circumstances they had.
Yeah, and I'm nitpicking a little bit, and honestly, that's why I asked the question. I'm not sure I know the answer. Tom Brady is also notoriously good at getting rid of the football and not holding on to it too long. Yep. And like you said, they're trying to keep everything in front yesterday. It's just something, the only reason I bring it up is because we know that was a big issue last year, right? And they went out and you got to be able to get home sometimes without blitzing. And they weren't able to do that yesterday in terms of sacks. But as we said, they played the entire game from in front and they won. And they're 3-1 now, Adam, and now it's Raider week. And it's Monday Night Football. Other stats I was tweeting or reading through on Twitter, the Chiefs are incredible in prime time under Andy Reid. And I'm curious if you think that's any kind of coincidence, or if it's just they win a lot under Andy Reid, so of course they win when they're in prime time.
Yeah, that's where I'm voting. They've had a pretty good record at noon games too, and in the afternoon. So. It is remarkable, and they you just sort of had a feeling that when the Bucs fumbled on the opening kickoff that last night was going to be one of those nights, and they are. And now it's the Raiders, who the Chiefs handled in a big way two times last year. New coaching staff out there, and what I could tell, I saw a little bit of the game on TV. Looked like they played pretty well yesterday, so. We'll see what they bring to Arrowhead on Monday night.
When you look around the AFC now, after the Bills get a big come-from-behind win against the Ravens, the Dolphins having the situation they're having at their quarterback right now, those are the only other 2-3-1 teams in the AFC. Has your opinion changed at all about what the power structure looks like in the AFC in terms of who the best teams are going to be competing for the top seeds in the AFC?
No, not really. I still think it'll come down to the Bills and the Chiefs. The Chargers have a bunch of injuries, and I don't know whether they can withstand that or not. I still think Cincinnati will be, a contender at the end, and the Dolphins have probably, shown a little more strength than we thought they had. But it's a long season. We'll see if they can continue for 17 games and be there at the end. But I think when it comes down to it, it'll be the Chiefs and the Bills at the end.
Saying the Chiefs are hosting the Raiders on Monday Night Football, and the Bills are hosting the Steelers this coming weekend. I think most people would expect Buffalo's a 14-point favorite over the Steelers right there. That's crazy. I haven't seen a line yet on the Chiefs, but the Chiefs, of course, will be a favorite against the Raiders as well. Adam, you're always a favorite with us. We appreciate your time, and, of course, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week on Monday Night Football, on the morning of Monday Night Football. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, good stuff, Nate. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, that is Adam Teicher. It's actually an interesting question, when he says, in that look, it's early, there's a long way to go in the season. Defensive MVP for the Chiefs. He said L'Jarius Sneed is maybe the front runner right now, maybe Chris Jones, maybe Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton played another great game yesterday. Another great game. And the Bucs did not run the ball. They didn't try to run the ball much. They only carried it 6 times. But they got 3 yards on 6 carries. Nick Bolton just continues to grow in that role. And remember, when we talk about injuries, the Chiefs did this again yesterday without Willie Gay Jr. and McDuffie. Right? Like, they're missing a couple guys that are supposed to be incredibly important guys, and they're missing, they got Mike Dana injured on the defensive line. This team, and everybody has injuries in the league. My only point being that the Chiefs are no exception there. They got some big injuries on defense right now, and they still went out there and played the game that Adam Teicher said they needed to play defensively because they had that big lead. They didn't let Tom Brady hit any big plays that got them right back into the game. And the Chiefs had that game under control, really, from start to finish. We will take a break. We will talk with Jeff Kerr from CBS. And And maybe look around the rest of the league. Interesting stuff going on all day. It's always fun when the Chiefs play in primetime, too, because you get to watch all the rest of the games, see how everybody else is. And every time that happens, by the way, I come away going, man, it's just a reminder of how lucky we are to get to watch this Chiefs team play on a weekly basis, because you can almost forget how the rest of the league looks. And most of the rest of the league doesn't look anything like the Chiefs, especially when it comes to their offense. We'll talk about that with Jeff Kerr next, right here on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff Kerr, our man from CBS Sports, joins us. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Man, I got the Step Brothers vibe after hearing Hall & Oates there.
You know, is it ever bad to have the Step Brothers vibe, though, when you think about it?
No, I still tell people to this day, Nate, it is the only movie in the last probably 15 years that I broke the chair at the movie theater because I was just dying laughing.
Steven St. John, my co-host, who's not here today, and our old producer Aaron Swartz and I saw that movie in the theater in River Falls, Wisconsin. It's appropriate we're talking Chiefs now, because we were up in River Falls back when the Chiefs did training camp up there, and we had a day off, so we decided to drive to the nearest town that had a movie theater and watch that show. And the only other people that were in the theater that day were four little old ladies. It was like a midweek at matinee, you know? And these four little old ladies were in the theater sitting like right in front of us. And it's such a raunchy movie and everything that we were dying laughing. And all I kept thinking was, these ladies are not laughing at all. I don't know that they knew what kind of movie they were getting themselves into, but I'm the same boat as you. We went back. We were like, we're gonna be going back to watch that movie again tomorrow, and we did. So yes, I'm with you on that. Fantastic movie, Step Brothers. How about those Chiefs, by the way, Jeff? What did you make of their performance last night against the Bucks?
So I only got to watch two games yesterday. The game I covered, the Eagles game and the Chiefs game, and. I'll just say it right out. One of my overreactions and reality check piece came out late last night. It comes out right after a Sunday night football game. I have written in the first half, Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, and that's a reality. I mean, until the Buffalo Bills beat them, until Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid just decide to fall off the face of the earth, no one's being that football team right now. Their offensive line completely dominated a really good Bucs defensive front. I think they took those Shaq Barrett comments to heart.
Yeah, there's no doubt they were motivated by that, and they were also motivated by the stinker that they put out there against the Colts last weekend. And when you only have 17 games to go off of, every game gets kind of magnified a little bit, and a lot of questions were being asked through the course of last week about what maybe is wrong with the Chiefs. Now that they've responded with this game against the Bucks, can we just say they put a stinker out there against the Colts and it's as simple as that and we're ready to move on? Or are there still kind of lingering concerns that you would even have from that game last weekend against the Colts?
I mean, it's a week-to-week league. You know, I say this to the Buffalo Bills, too. The Buffalo Bills made a lot of mistakes last week and they paid the price for it. I still think the Buffalo Bills are a really good football team, just like I do the Kansas City Chiefs. You look at all the errors they made in that Colts game last week. That's very un-Andy Reid-like, Chiefs-like. And the Chiefs can put out those clunkers of games. We've seen that before. But I just think when you got a motivated Patrick Mahomes coming off a loss, coming back to Tampa, and he told Melissa Stark last night, look, you know, he still had bad taste in his mouth from that Super Bowl loss. And, you know, I don't think Patrick Mahomes likes hearing, oh, you know, you'll never be Tom Brady. You're never going to be Tom Brady, this and that. I think he took that to heart a bit and said, you know what, we're a better football team than this. I don't need Tyreek Hill to win. I got a better offensive line. I got playmakers. I got Travis Kelce. We're going to put the hurting on this defense, and last night just felt like playoff Patrick Mahomes.
It was. I was saying to the people I was watching the game with at Chicken and Pickle out at 135th Street. We had a good time, and I was saying primetime Patrick Mahomes. You know, and that you could maybe say it's the same thing, right? Like when the lights are the brightest, the dude steps up and does incredible things. And while I'm doing the morning show today, we've got ESPN on one TV monitor in here. We got the NFL Network on the other TV monitor, and I must have seen the Patrick Mahomes Houdini play down at the goal line. I probably watched it 50 times again this morning because they just keep replaying it on both TV monitors. And here in Kansas City, Jeff, like we're almost getting desensitized to watching him make plays like that. And I think we all have to continue to remind ourselves how special it is to get to see him do this on a regular basis. What's it like to be on the outside, to like not be here in Kansas City and see him do the things that he does? Like, what was your reaction when you saw him make that play last night?
Well, I get people really upset because everybody knows I love Patrick Mahomes. I loved him since he was at Texas Tech. And I just keep telling people, you know, I think there may be two quarterbacks in the league that can do that. And someone asked me who the second quarterback was, and I said, to be honest with you, that's why I said maybe. I'm like, I think Josh Allen could, but I don't think that's his style of play. I don't think he freelances like that. Maybe Lamar Jackson, but Patrick Mahomes can only do things Patrick Mahomes does. It's what makes Patrick Mahomes what he is. But nothing amazes me but what Mahomes does. And I know people like to downplay what Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy's role in all this, but you get such a creative offensive play caller who seems like he's 5 years ahead of his time all the time. And you got a quarterback who's the fastest now to 20,000 passing yards, the most touchdown passes in his first 67 games. I mean, you got something there. You got a winning combination in a league where the quarterback is everything. If you have a quarterback and a head coach that can win, you're going to win a lot of football games. And at the Kansas City Chiefs right now, I honestly think you could give Patrick Mahomes, Dwayne Bowe, and whoever played with Dwayne Bowe during those years in Kansas City with Brody Croyle, and I think they win 12, 13 games. That's just how good of a player I think he is, and that's just how good, you know, this team is when things are clicking. And if things go right early for Kansas City, I don't think you beat them.
And, of course, Travis Kelce passed Gronk on the all-time receiving yards list yesterday and has another great day. And I'm curious where you think he ranks all-time as far as pass-catching tight ends go in the league.
You know what? I got to have him in my top three already. I mean, if we're being honest, Tony Gonzalez is up there. I mean, we're going the blocking tight end route. It's funny. When you want to rank tight ends, you probably got Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten, and Antonio Gates, but I think Travis Kelce has passed at least one of them, and I think it's Antonio Gates. So, I mean, what Travis Kelce has done throughout his career is incredible. I mean, just look at it. He has six straight 1,000-yard seasons. He's the only tight end to have more than four 1,000-yard seasons. He's got six in a row. He's not just the best tight end in football. He is the best receiver in football. If you look at the numbers since 2016, he's number one in all those categories. And he's the ultimate security blanket for Patrick Mahomes. He's a player that, at least in my opinion, could do it all. By the way, he is an underrated blocker.
Yes.
A lot of people love to rip Travis Kelce on his blocking. Well, I say, you're not watching Travis Kelce. You're watching fantasy football. So, to me, I just think right now he could quit today. He's in the Hall of Fame. I cover his brother a lot, Jason. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame. And there are podcasts that's basically Hall of Fame potential at this rate. Those two, when they retire, are going to be the new Peyton and Eli Manning and Pat McAfee all-in-one. They're insane.
Yeah. I'll sign me up for a Kelce cast on Monday nights when that time comes, whenever they're done playing, no doubt about it. We're visiting with Jeff Kerr of CBS Sports, and if you follow him at Jeff Kerr CBS, you get all kinds of great content there as well. You mentioned that the other game that you watched in its entirety was the team where you're based, the Philadelphia Eagles. And that was the one bet I lost on DraftKings yesterday, by the way. I thought the Jags were going to keep it a little closer than they did. And when they jumped out to that big lead, I was feeling really good about it. But the Eagles turned them over a bunch, and they're 4-0 now. Are they the best team in the NFC?
You know what? I'm almost ready to say it just because of they did come back from down 14-0 yesterday. I still think Green Bay and Tampa Bay may be a bit ahead of them because they do have the pedigree and they do have the experienced quarterbacks. But when you go down 14-0 in the pouring down rain like that, you could easily fold. And Jalen Hurts and that rushing offense, I mean, they can run the ball off anybody. Nate, they can run the ball off any single team in this league. And they did that yesterday. 50 carries for 210 yards. Really, it was 47 for 213 when, you know, I'm taking away the three kneel downs at the end of the game. But Miles Sanders had himself a day. Jalen Hurts had himself a day running the football. Trey Sermon was even running the football for them. And they were down three offensive linemen. And Jalen Hurts was barely touched. And they threw the ball over 30 times. They ran 84 plays to Jacksonville's 47. And I think Jacksonville's a pretty good team, too. They're well coached, by the way, with Doug Peterson. But overall, it's, man, just being in those conditions and getting soaked and all, it's just, it was not ideal weather for football players. I mean, these guys were shivering after the game in the locker room. And, you know, they were so that they're probably all going to have colds today. But, man, as long as the Eagles can run the ball off anybody, as long as Jalen Hurts keeps progressing like he did with that defense who just seems to have a different guy step up for them every week, it's, I don't know, I might have to meet you guys in Arizona come February.
Hey, I'll tell you what, and there's this weird connection that Kansas City and Philadelphia have as football towns, from Dick Vermeil to Andy Reid. I have all these conversations. The new general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, was born and raised in Philly, and he's a big Eagles fan, and I've been texting with him. We might be, and he's like, hey, look, spring training's in Arizona, you know, at that time. I've already looked at it. We might be there. I mean, it could happen. To me, the question is Jalen Hurts, because, and I'll admit to you, Jeff, I was not a believer in him. I did not think he was going to be anything special as a quarterback at the NFL level. I thought he was missing some things. And I have started to change my tune because of so many guys that I respect, that I read and listen to this offseason, that we're just talking about. I'm a huge believer in all the intangibles at the quarterback position. The physical stuff matters, but you got to have, to quote J.J. Piccolo, your best guy has to be your best guy. And as like, for example, as phenomenally physically gifted as Patrick Mahomes is, the dude's the best guy. He is an incredible leader. Everybody on the team respects him and looks to him, and he does all the other things that you have to do as a quarterback. And everything I hear about Jalen Hurts is that he's an incredible leader. He's an incredibly prepared, hardworking, focused. He does all the things that the quarterback needs to do. Can he be the guy that takes a team that's got a really, really good roster that can run the ball and win in the trenches and all that? Because the one thing that those other teams have, if you said they got Tom Brady, they got Aaron Rodgers and all that, can Jalen Hurts be the guy that takes this team all the way to the Super Bowl?
I think he's showing that through the first four games. And look, if you just looked at the box score yesterday, you're like, okay, he didn't have that great of a game. But I'll tell you what, there was a 4th-and-3 play, Nate. 4th-and-goal. Eagles are down 14-0. Nick Sirianni says, you know what, we're going for it. We got some momentum. We just stopped Jacksonville on 4th-and-1. And basically they called Jalen Hurts' number. And you know how big Jalen Hurts is. He takes it himself. You see Devin Lloyd just coming full steam, and Devin Lloyd can hit. Jalen Hurts, you heard the pound, and you thought Devin Lloyd crushed Jalen Hurts. No, it was the other way around. Jalen Hurts got lower than Devin Lloyd, put his shoulder in there, went helmet to helmet with him, and just knocked him down, scored. And I'm like, that's a guy you want to play for. That's a Patrick Mahomes-type play.
Mm-hmm.
He did not care. Nothing was beating Jalen Hurts from scoring that touchdown. And it just feels like Patrick Mahomes, when he's taken off with the ball, which he seldom does, but actually does very well, or throws the football in the end zone, it's, nothing stops them. And that's Jalen Hurts. And I thought it meant so much after the game, you know, Doug Peterson coming back to Philly, and, you know, you guys know Doug Peterson being offensive coordinator here, and Doug was one of those guys where I always loved Doug. I always have respect for Doug. Jalen Hurts, who only had Doug Peterson for a year, you would have thought he was his coach for 10 years. You know, he said, he's the reason why I'm here. He's the reason why I'm sitting up at this podium right now talking to you guys. He gave me my shot, and That's leadership. You know, he doesn't know Doug Peterson anything, and he's just sitting here just basking in what Doug Peterson did for him as a football coach and as a man. And I'm like, you know what? That's a winner, and that's what he is. And I keep trying to tell people that, you know, sometimes there's just things you can't explain, even when they're not the most talented people, but they're good enough. I don't think Tom Brady is the most talented football player on the field. I don't.
Right.
He was overweight out of college. He wasn't this man amongst boys. He was just a guy, but he willed himself. He made himself good. And I truly think people make themselves good at stuff. And Patrick Mahomes is one of those people. He's really, really good, and he makes himself good. So I think you're seeing that result. Same with Josh Allen, same with Lamar Jackson. And I think Jalen Hurts might be one of those guys, might be in that category. It's every single week you're finding it harder and harder to stop guys like Jalen Hurts, guys like Patrick Mahomes, guys like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. I'm not comparing Jalen Hurts to those guys, but you're starting to see why the Eagles are a problem with him.
Mentality is such an underrated component. There are quarterbacks all over this country who are not playing in the NFL that have more physical ability than Tom Brady. And look, Tom Brady obviously is an elite athlete. You don't get to the NFL if you're not an elite athlete. But there are guys that have stronger arms than him, that can throw the ball farther, that can run a lot faster than him, and all that stuff, that can't hack it in the NFL because they don't have the mentality for it. And that guy has one of the most incredible mentalities in the history of professional sports, and he's the greatest quarterback to ever live. And that's why that stuff with Jalen Hurts, that matters so much. I mean, to me, Johnny Manziel, boy, he had talent. He didn't have the mentality to play in the NFL. You know, I mean, it's that stuff matters so much more than people realize. And when you start hearing that stuff about Jalen Hurts, I start saying to Josh Allen was not an accurate quarterback when he started in the NFL. And I was not a huge believer in him at that time. And because of his mentality and his work ethic and everything, he just keeps getting better. And that's what the great ones do. And I'm a fan of Jalen Hurts. Like I am. I'm rooting for the Eagles, and I want to see that Super Bowl. Jeff, thank you so much for the time, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good, Nate. By the way, I got one stat for you before you leave.
Yeah.
You know Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs average 31 points per game against the number one scoring defense?
Like overall, since he's been the quarterback?
Yeah, since he's been the quarterback. That is absolutely insane.
Primetime Mahomes. You know, the bigger the challenge, the better he shows up, right?
Yeah, you know, if you want to beat the Chiefs, you got to get them at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon when not everybody's watching.
That's something like that. That's what the Colts pulled off. Hey, Jeff, that's a great stat. We'll talk to you again soon, okay, pal?
Yeah, sounds great. I'll talk to you soon, Nate. Thanks.
Great stuff. That is Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. And wouldn't that be fun? Chiefs and Eagles? I don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves. It's only 4 weeks into the season, but the Eagles are 4-0 and the Chiefs are 3-1. And Jeff says the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. Most people were saying the Bills. Bills got a lot of injuries going on right now as well. It'd be interesting to see which team can stay healthy through the rest of the season. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Into the end zone, willing our team to win, and that's our ultimate leader, man.
I can listen to Travis Kelce talk all morning long. Hey, why don't we listen to Travis Kelce talk? The Houdini of our era, Patrick Mahomes, there's no doubt about it. I don't know what Travis Kelce is, but I think he's the greatest tight end to ever live. And he's definitely in the top five. He talked about the focus that the Chiefs had this week to get ready after that loss against the Colts against a big-time opponent in the Buccaneers.
First off, I want to say that is an unbelievable defense. I think the stats before this game proved it. There's a lot of attention to detail, and I feel like when coaches challenge us in the beginning of the week, from what you guys saw last week, there was an intention to detail throughout practice that we got to maintain throughout the entire season, because that was just showing exactly how much we were focused throughout the week. Pat knew exactly where to go with the ball. Guys that were running routes knew exactly, you know, when the ball was coming to them. And then on top of that, the O-line played their tail off. And sure enough, we got the guys to be able to make any play out there on the field. And when you see us fly around and play like that, play for each other like that, we know we're a hard team to beat.
And, of course, Shaq Barrett last week made headlines around here when he said he didn't see much of a difference between this year's Chiefs offensive line and the one that the Buccaneers dominated in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Kelce was asked about those comments leading up to the game.
Honestly, I don't even know what he said. We sure as heck didn't have any conversations, so I don't know if it bothered him or not.
BS. BS. There is no possible way that he didn't know what Shaq Barrett said. Patrick Mahomes said it, you know, doing the post-game interview on the field with Melissa Stark. He said, you know, hey, they were kind of challenged by the other team. And we know that Patrick Mahomes plays well with a chip on his shoulder. The whole team heard those comments, you know it. And they went out and they sent a message. They ran for 189 yards against that team. They ran for 189 yards against the number one defense in the NFL. That's biggest strength is up front. That's what the Chiefs did. But also, Travis Kelce had 92 receiving yards and a touchdown. The touchdown was just classic Kelce. That guy, there are things that blow your mind, right? Like whatever the sport is, you see certain players and you're like, okay, how is he getting the ball in that space? You know, how is this great player being allowed to catch the ball in basketball? It's like, how are they letting him get the ball? In soccer, say, how is the other team? Because the great ones, yeah, there you go. Soccer alum. I was told by somebody at the sporting game yesterday, please make it your goal to get the soccer siren at least once every day. And I did it. That's for you, Henry. I met Henry after the game yesterday and he said he loves the soccer siren. So there you go. A little soccer thing, but whatever the sport is, and Kelce is one of those guys that when he gets open in the middle of the field, you find yourself going, how do they not have Travis Kelce accounted for? But when you're trying to play zone defense, and he has these incredible little head and shoulder fakes and it's just a slight little head and shoulder fake that freezes that linebacker for 1 second, and that is all Patrick Mahomes needs. And he's so slippery for the size that he is, and he's just incredible. So he passes Rob Gronkowski for most receiving yards by a tight end, in career receiving yards. He's just going to keep moving on up those rankings. Here, Travis Kelce talks about that honor of passing Gronk.
Man, I'll tell you what, man. What an honor, man. You know, I was telling Tirico before the game yesterday, him and Collinsworth, they showed me a list of those guys that were in the top five before it, man. And I remember nobody knowing who the guy in sixth place was and feeling that and turning that into fuel, turning that into something that, you know, being able to live out your dreams, to be on a list like that with those guys, such an honor. And I'm just blessed, man. And 8'7", Rob Gronkowski, man, you can't say enough about who he is as a player, as a person, and even to be in the same conversations as a guy like that and the rest of the list, you know, it's just an honor, man.
It's a joy to get to watch athletes play for a long time in your town and then see them grow and evolve. Remember what a knucklehead Travis Kelce was when he started his career? And like a playful knucklehead. He always seemed to me like a likable knucklehead, you know, but he would get in trouble for certain hand gestures toward the referee. I think he once threw a flag at a ref, you know, when he was upset. And you, There were times when he would start his touchdown celebrations like 5 yards before he was in the end zone. I remember the one where he wound up and then punched this football. And I'm like, can we just wait till you get into the end zone before we try that? And now you're talking about a guy who just has continued to grow and is a leader on the field. He's a pro. He still kept that personality, and that's one of the things I love about Andy Reid. He didn't try to squash the personality of vibrant humans like Travis Kelce. He wants them to express themselves, but to harness it, you know, and to be focused about it. And Kelce has just become he's just grown into the consummate pro. And he has become, in my opinion, the greatest. I mean, he's the best. He's just incredible. And he and Patrick Mahomes have formed one of the great combinations in NFL history, and they were on display again yesterday, and the Chiefs got a double-digit win in Tampa Bay. A double-digit win. Now they get ready for Raider Week. We'll take a break. We'll talk with Bill Moss about all this and more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.